mention of Hugh and Yanim pertaining to today's day, Gimel Tammuz. Obviously, the first and foremost thing about such a day, when we approach such a day, is to see what the Rebbe himself said about this day of Gimel Tammuz. And obviously, this will give us our outlook and focus and hashkafa, how we are supposed to approach the Gimel Tammuz. You find that the first month of Tammuz, of the Rebbe's Nesiyas, in the year Tavshin Yud, a few months after Yud Shvat, that Shabbos Mevorchim Tammuz, there was a Fabringim, it was Shabbos Parsha Shlach. And the Rebbe, obviously we always know that the Shabbos Mevorchim of a month sets the tone for the whole month. And the Rebbe then spoke a very special, interesting sikha pertaining to Parsha Shlach, pertaining to the story of the Meraglim, which we read last week in the Torah. And there's a very special heirah for this that the Rebbe takes out pertaining to our relationship with the Rebbe. And of course, this applies today, and especially, in other words, this is the Rebbe's laying down the groundwork for the whole month of Tammuz. And this was the first month of Tammuz of the Rebbe's Nesiyas. The Rebbe there brought the story of the Meraglim. When the Meraglim came back after their trip of investigating the land, and they're coming back to give a report, the Meraglim say, it says, they came to where Moshe and the Yidden were stationed, camped out in the Midbar, and they say, we fulfilled your mission, we came to the land that you sent us, the Gam Zavas Chol of Advashi, and it's like a true, this is a land that's flowing with milk and honey, the Zeh Pirya, look, these are the Pedas, and of course we know, Pasuk says that it was tremendous, beautiful fruit, that you needed more than one person to carry one fruit. When you made a fruit order, you couldn't just get it delivered, you needed a whole army to bring home your fruit order. And then they continued, Efes ki azah ol mayeshi ba'aretz. And then they started describing what type of people are living in this land. And they're very strong nations, very strong people that live there. V'ha'orim b'tzuris g'deilis ma'ei, very strong fortified cities. We saw the giants, and then they described exactly where the nations were stationed. The Amalek is in Beretz Hanegev, and the Chiti, Vaibusi, Vaimedi is Bahar, in the mountain, Vaknaimi, Yeshiv Alayam, on the ocean, Val Yadayardin, and so on. So they described what they found. Obviously, this was their job. They were supposed to look in the land and investigate, see what's doing over there, and they're coming back and giving a report. Immediately, the Pasuk continues, Vayahas Kalev Asa'am El Mesha. Kalev immediately quieted them down. He says, be quiet. Vayeben, and he said, Oli Naila the Yerashnuay, so we could overcome this land and we could inherit it. Ki yachal nuchala. And the Pasuk continues that the people, the other Meraglim, said, no, Lei nuchala, they said, La'om, we cannot go and overtake this land. Ki chazak hu mimenu. And actually, Rashi says, chazak hu mimenu, stronger than who? Kavi yachal klapi maila amru. In other words, they were saying, Kavi yachal, that the Eibishter himself is not strong enough to overpower the nations in this land. So the Rebbe asks a very simple question. The Rebbe says, seemingly, Vayahas Kalev Esa'am does not fit in over here. At the point where Kalev quiets down the people, quiets down the Meraglim, at that point they didn't do anything wrong yet. At that point they were just fulfilling the Shlichas of Moshe. If we look back a few psukim to the beginning of the Parsha, what does Moshe Rabbeinu tell them? What is your job? What is your Shlichas? He tells them, Aluzer Vanegev Alisim Esa'am, see what type of nations are living there. Are they strong? Are they weak? Are they many or are they few? What type of land is? Is it a tevi imra? And so on. And they are coming back and giving their honest opinion, their honest assessment of what they saw. Obviously, they're not going to say something they didn't see. They're saying what they saw. At that point, they didn't do anything wrong. Once they come to a conclusion, and they say, that they weren't supposed to do. That wasn't their shlichas. Their shlichas was, what did you see? Moshe Rabbeinu said, please go there, tell me what you saw. To come to a conclusion, that they weren't allowed to do. That was for Moshe to come to the conclusion, if there's any conclusion to come to. But that was not their job. They took it a step further. That was their downfall. And that was Taki Kvira. Chazeku bimenu. They said that Kaviyachal, that the Eibishter himself cannot overcome these people. So at that point, it would make sense that Rebbe asks for Kalev to be Vayahas Kalev Esa'am El Moshe. Why, at the point where they are just fulfilling their shlichas, at that point, Vayahas Kalev Esa'am, at that point, they didn't do anything wrong yet. So the Rebbe explains, this is Shabbos Parsha Shlach Tov Shin Yud. But the point that Rebbe says is, and of course this is the Rebbe's insight always, Rebbe picks up things that seem very simple, but we would never think of. The Rebbe says if we analyze the psukim a little further, we will see that there was a fundamental mistake, a fundamental difference that the Meraglim made over here that seemingly we wouldn't pick up, and Kalev picked it up, and right away Vayas Kalev Asa'am. What was the mistake? Moshe Rabbeinu told them first to see what type of people are in this land. Then he said, tell me about the land itself. When the Meraglim came back, they reversed the order. They first described what type of land it is, then they described what type of people it is. Obviously, the Rebbe gets into whole arichas. What was the fundamental difference? But Moshe Rabbeinu's whole kavanah is, we are going to overcome this land. We are going to inherit. We have a shlichus from the Eibishter. We have a mitzvah to go kibush es haaretz, and we just have to find the ways b'derech hateva how this is done. So Moshe's first and foremost thing is kibush haaretz. The first thing in kibush haaretz is to overcome. How are you kibush es haaretz? You have to overpower and conquer the nations that are living there from before. So Moshe Rabbeinu's first thing is, tell me what type of people are living there. Where are they living? Are they strong? Are they weak? Ham atu imrav? Are they many or are they few? Later, the second thing is, what kind of land is it? Is it a nice land, a good land? What type of fruit does it have? Is chazakten lekachem and priyaretz? But that's already like the schar. That's already the secondary thing. The first and foremost thing is, we have to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem who told us to be kevesh haaretz. When the Meraglim come back, they reverse the order. The first thing they say about the schar, they say what type of land it is. Zavas chalav advash v'zeh piriyah, look at the fruit. Then they say what type of nations are living there. In other words, kibush haaretz was secondary by them. They said first about the schar, and Rebbe gets into whole arichas that obviously once you take such an approach, if you look at the schar as the ikur, then you can start, your mind starts coming into focus and you're going to start making cheshbonos. Let's see. For such a land, that zavas chalav advash, was that piya, let's see, how much is it worth for me to go out of my way to conquer this land? So if it's a milchama that I'm going to need a very strong milchama, maybe it's not worth it. You know, but you start already making calculations, I'll be seichel if it's worth it. That's why Moshe told them the opposite order. So the point that the Rebbe says, the problem at this point is that the Meraglim changed the order of Moshe Rabbeinu. Once they changed the order of the Shlichus, of the Rebbe, of Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayas Kalev Esam, Kalev Esam, they cannot continue. We must stop immediately right now. You're going in the wrong direction. You're falling. And obviously we see right afterwards what happened. Gechazeku Mimena, they were saying, Dibnei Kvida. Question the order. Moshe said first, give a report what type of people are there and then what type of land it is. They did the opposite. First they said what type of land it is and then they said what type of people it is. But the Rebbe also says, even because Meisha's, we said before, Meisha's Kavana was Kibush HaSa'aretz. We have a mission of the Eibishter to conquer Eretz Yisrael. If it's a good land or a bad land, that's irrelevant. We have to fulfill the Ratzon of the Eibishter, Kibush HaSa'aretz. The schar comes secondary. The Meraglim made the schar the main thing. Once you make the schar the main thing, then you start making calculations. Hey, listen, such a nice land with such fruit, but listen, how much am I willing to kill myself for such a land? Now, they were veering away already from the shlichas, from Divrei Meisha. And the truth is, if we look into Pirkei Avos, for instance, this is the Perek Chamishi from next Shabbos, we have the famous Mishnah over there, Shiva Dvarim Begeilam, the Shiva Chacham. There are seven midas that a Geilam has and seven midas that a Chacham has. And the Mishnah enumerates actually only the midas that a Chacham possesses, and he just can, at the end he says, V'chulufayim b'gaylam. A Geilam does just the opposite. And one of the things is, V'ayim b'al rishin, rishin b'al achren achren. He answers on number one, number first, and number two, you answer second. So seemingly, the worst thing at the Meraglim at this point are, we could call them Geilam, V'chulufayim b'gaylam. They answered on number two, they answered the first. In other words, they should have answered first on number one, then on number two. They answered on number two and number one. So there should be a geila. However, when it comes to, in the case of Meisha Rabbeinu, when you're doing this, on the shlichas of Meisha, Meisha tells you one and two, and you do two and one, even though it seems only as a technicality, if we look and we say, hey, big deal. So instead of answering A and then B, they first answered B and then A, big deal. But when it comes to a shlichas of Meisha, once we veer a hair, a kihuzah, a drop away from the shlichas of Meisha already, because what happens eventually? It's kvira rachmanu v'flan. As the Meraglim talk in the next pasuk said, ki chazak hu mimenu. And Ustak Kvira, he says, no, we cannot overcome this. These nations are stronger than the Eibishter himself, rachmanu v'flan. And of course, this was the downfall of the Meraglim. And the Rebbe brings out the Hira. This is the Hira for us and our connection to the Rebbe, to Nesi Dereinu. And the Rebbe says this clearly in the Sikha. When it comes to the shlichas of Meisha, the shlichas of the Rebbe, we cannot veer off ki huzeh, one iota, one drop from the shlichas of the Rebbe, from the shlichas of Meisha. We cannot change even something that seems a technicality. And the Rebbe points out, even if this technicality seems to us that we will be more successful in our shlichas if we change. Sometimes you think, oh, you know, if we change this little here, it'll be better for the Rebbe, it'll be better for our shlichas. The Rebbe says, no, it doesn't work like that. The Rebbe knows all about these things, and the Rebbe knows what's best. And what the Rebbe says, that's the way to do. And if we change Chas V'Shalom one iota from this, it eventually leads Rachman Hassan to Gichazekul Mimenu. So the Rebbe also points out what we find by the Meraglim, that it says by Yalu Negev, when they came into the land, they went through the Negev, by Yavai Ad Chevron, and he came to Chevron. So Rashi right away points out, by Yavai is Lashon Yachid, singular. The Meraglim were plural. What's by Yavai? So Rashi says only one of the Meraglim went to Chevron. Who was that? That was Kalev. So he was one of the two Meraglim that remained loyal to Moshe Rabbeinu. He went to Chevron. Why Chevron? Because Chevron has the Maris HaMachpelah. Chevron has Kibrei Avos. He went to be Mispalel Nishtateach al Kibrei Avos, that he shouldn't fall into the trap. Obviously, he felt something brewing from the Meraglim already. So he went to be Mispalel that he shouldn't fall into the trap. But the Rebbe points out something deeper. Not just that he went to be Mispalel. The Rebbe points out, what does it mean, the Nishtateach al Kibrei Avos? Nishtatkus means literally when one, that's really Nishtatkus, when a person lays flat. So in such a case, the Rebbe points out, what happens to the person? His head is equal with the rest of his body. It's like a Nishtachavah, such a type of bowing down. That his head becomes equal with the rest of the body. By Kalev going to Chevron, Nishtateach al Kibrei Avos, the Rebbe says, what did he have to go Kibrei Avos? He had Moshe Rabbeinu. He had to go to the Avos. I mean, we're all due respect to the Avos, but he had Moshe Rabbeinu. But the word was that he went Nishtateach, he was a Shliach of Moshe, but even if you're a Shliach of Moshe, if you're using your own Seichel, you're mixing in your own Seichel, the Chas V'Shalom, you could fall away. Therefore, he went to Nishtateach al Kibrei Avos, he put his head equal with the rest of his body. It means he was putting his head on the side. He was putting himself in a situation of total Kabbalah's oil to fulfill the shlichas of Meisha without moving away from the shlichas of Meisha, even a hair, even a drop, a kihuzer. And again, it's interesting to point out that this was the first Tammuz, the Rebbe's Nesiyas, the first Tammuz of the Deir HaShvi, where the Rebbe's laying down the foundation, so to say, for the whole Deir HaShvi, and for all the inyanim of Tammuz and all the events of Tammuz, and obviously even for the events of Gimel Tammuz and so on. And the Rebbe is saying the first and foremost thing that we have to know as Chassidim in our relationship to the Rebbe, we can't be smarter than the Rebbe, even if something is a technicality, even if something we think will be better for our shlichos, will be more matzliach, and will be better for the Rebbe and so on. Once Chas V'Shalom we veer a kihuzer, that's one of the things that this could lead to and this could bring. And of course, this is a nekuda of Gimel Tammuz for us. Gimel Tammuz for us is a day that we are showing the Rebbe that no matter what happened, even though we were put in the situation of a Hel and a Hester on this day, nevertheless, this is the day that we are showing the Rebbe that we have complete emunah, that we're talking in the Rebbe, we have not veered from the Rebbe, ki was a drop. We, mamnish abgalas from the Rebbe, one drop, we are in the same place, we didn't go look for any other places, we remain, every word that the Rebbe said in all the sikhas and so on, we continue with complete emunah and bitachon. And obviously this comes together with nishtateach, with bittul. We have to put our head on the side. If we start mixing in our head, sometimes the cup can fadrein abyssal. This interesting nekuda also in Tashas Kedach, Rashi brings out the whole story of the machlekes of Kedach. Rashi brings a very interesting episode. So we already learned this in Kitas last week. Famous thing that one of the tactics that Kedach used, he took the people that were with him, with Adas Kedach, the 250 people, and he came to Moshe and he had different questions in Teda. He came, he said, Talish akulit tchelet, hayavis bit tzitzis epidura. One has a talis that the whole talis is full of tchelet, so you put it from tzitzis on up. You know that a talis has to have tzitzis. One of the tzitzis we don't have it today, it's not our goal, we don't have tchelet. But in Teda, in the tzitzis, you're supposed to have a blue thread from the tchelet. So he says, if your talis is, the whole talis is made from these threads of tchelet, you also need tzitzis. So Moshe said, yeah, of course. In other words, he wanted to bring out, because we know a mitzvah is, and sometimes we don't understand, but this is the din, as a Jesus. He wanted to bring out that it seems pretty absurd that if the talis, kulat chelis, we also need tzitzit. Then he says the famous thing, he asked also about it, Rashi brings this here. The famous thing that he asked it for, Abaye shakula svarim chayeves b'mezuzah. I have a house full of sifrei Torah, does it need a mezuzah also? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, of course. Doesn't matter what's in the house. The house needs a mezuzah. This is absurd. A mezuzah only has two parshas from the Torah. So a house that has kula svarim, has many sifrei Torah, it also needs a mezuzah. But he wants to bring out that it sounds absurd. Obviously, he was losing the focus that a mitzvah is a tzivei Hashem. And this is the mitzvah. It doesn't matter if we understand it or not. The mitzvah is a tzavim mezuzah v'isachah v'isharetah. It doesn't matter what's in the house, what's not in the house. We have to have chelis on the tzitzis. It doesn't matter if chelis, shakulit chelis, and so on. Basically, he wants to bring out that Meshach Rabbeinu's Teda seemingly is quite absurd in many instances. And it's interesting, Nekuda pointed out over here, that there are a number of Midrashim that say that these 250 people, obviously we have them in Chumash straight, that these were, Rashi brings it also, Kriyei Moed, Anshei Shem, and Rashi said these were Rashi Sanhedrin. These 250 people weren't simple people. These were great leaders by Yidden. These were not, riffraff, as we say, that went to fight with Kedah. These were big people. Nevertheless, they got caught into Kedah's trap. And there's a medrash that says something very interesting, that one of these 250 people was, believe it or not, Nachshon ben Aminadab. Nachshon ben Aminadab, we're all familiar with, the tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. Whenever you want to say someone has great Mesiras Nefesh, he's willing to jump into water, into fire, you say he's like Nachshon ben Aminadab. The story by Kriyas Yamsuf, that he was the first one to jump into the water. Nevertheless, this great Isha Mesiras Nefesh, nevertheless, when it came to Hadas Kedah, he fell into the trap. And he became part of the Anshei Kedah, who was Chelek al-Mashrach, one of Islam. So I once heard a beer in this taka from the Mashpia, based on this Indian, that being that Keira enclosed his machlekes in Teira, he tried to bring out that Kaviyachol, the Teira agrees with Keira. And the Teira itself is saying how absurd Moshe Rabbeinu is, and we have to be chelek on Moshe and so on. Being that he enclosed it in Teira, that such an Nisayan, that even the great Isha Mesiras Nefesh of Nachshon ben Aminadab cannot withstand this test, and he fell into the trap. And sometimes we see, Adin Shmanapshi, we know from ourselves, sometimes when Metutas on and the Eitzpul of Kedushas, the Rebbe always says, when we make it look very holy, and so on, and sometimes people even put it in the words of the Rebbe, look, nevertheless, that's that when you need the Shmira Ma'ula, that's when you need the extra careful guard, extra careful watch in such a case, because in such a case, it's very easy to fall in, when it looks like Keira itself is agreeing with this thing that's Chelek al-Meshrach, one of Islam. Now, let's get to Gimel Talmud Tav Shin Yud. Then actually, after that, we'll backtrack 9 years before that, the Tavshin Aleph, the first Talmud that the Rebbe came to America and that came to New York. On Gimel Talmud Tavshin Yud, which is the first Gimel Talmud of the Rebbe's Nesias, the Rebbe issued a very special letter. This is a letter that has been printed already in Lekutei Sichas Chelek Yud Aleph, and later it went into the series, into the Svarim of Igros Kedush. This is a very famous letter. We won't go through the whole letter now, but we'll just mention one nekuda of it. This is the famous letter where the Rebbe says, "Rabim hamechapsim amavayrim mailas gedulas mesiach chabad bechlal." There are many that are searching to try to describe what is the greatness of mesiach chabad in general, and especially our nasi, the Friedeke Rebbe, kvei gushus meirev b'cham yadnu. In other words, at this time, shortly after Yud Shvat, everyone's trying to depict the greatness of the Friedeke Rebbe. And each one, the Rebbe says, is describing the Friedeke Rebbe in different terms. One person is calling him, he's an Ish Mesiras Nefesh. Another person is calling him, he's a Goyim. Another person saying, you know what, he's a Baal Midas. Fourth person says, he's a Tzaddik. Fifth, another person says, he's Ruach, a Baal Ruach HaKedesh. He has Ruach HaKedesh. Another one says, the Rebbe goes through a whole list of different things that people say. Another person says, he's Melumet Benissim, he's able to perform miracles, and so on and so on. The Rebbe says, the truth is, many of these people who are saying these things don't even fully appreciate what they're saying without learning Chassidus. When we learn Chassidus, we can then appreciate what does it mean when we call someone Ish Mesiras Nefesh. And if someone learns a few Maimari Chassidus, a few Maimarim of Mesiras Nefesh, you have a whole deeper, greater appreciation. What does it mean, Mesiras Nefesh? We have right in the beginning of Tanya, this Tzaddik, and Alter Rebbe says, it's Tzaddik B'Shem Mamnushal, and it's the real Tayyar Tzaddik. Sometimes we can learn in Nigla, we can learn in Gemara, Tzaddik. It says many times Tzaddik in Gemara. And you have the whole belt learning tzaddik. They really don't understand what a tzaddik is. Till you learn chassidus, till you learn tanya, tanya. The Rebbe tells you, you know really what a tzaddik is. This is a mamish, an unbelievable thing, and it gives you the whole level of what a tzaddik is. So the Rebbe says the truth. All these titles that they're giving the Friedeke Rebbe, really, they don't even themselves know exactly what they're saying without learning chassidus. In other words, the depth, really, what does it mean, ish mesiras nefesh? What does it mean, agoin? What does it mean, bal ruach hakedesh? What does it mean, malubet benissim, a tzaddik, and so on? But the Rebbe says, nevertheless, they're all right, everyone is correct. However, they're all missing the point. They're all saying things that are true. Of course, he's a Mesiras Nefesh, and he's a Goyin, and he's a Baal Midas, and he's a Tzaddik, and he has Ruach HaKedesh, and he's able to perform miracles. These things are all true. However, everyone's missing the mark. They're off. Iker Chaser Khan, the main thing is missing. And the Rebbe gets into the whole Arichas, that what is the Iker, of course, that he's a Rebbe, that he's a Nasi. And a Nasi is something that's totally unique, that's in Gansen Hecha, totally higher than this whole Inyan, and all these titles. A Nasi is the Nasi Hadei, that all the Hashpois go from him. And the Rebbe then continues that there are different levels of Nasiim, and how they are Mashpia to the people. And a Nasi Chabad was a Nasi Adair, he's Mashpi in everything. He's Mashpi in the Gashmi, is Beruchni, is Betrimi, is Ubechitzeni, is Ubemakif, and so on. And therefore the Rebbe concludes, Ubemela, Hoysa, his Kashrusam, Imashayachim Aleyam, his Kashus, the connection of the Rebbe with Yidden, and especially those that have an outward connection to the Rebbe, Chassidim, and so on, is Bechol Taryag Ivrei Nefesh Beguvam Mekushorim. This encompasses all Taryag Ivrei Nefesh Beguv. We know that our bodies have 613 Evarim. Our neshamas also have 613 parts corresponding to the Taryag Ivrei Aguf and so on, which means every aspect of our existence, the Gashmias, every aspect of our existence, Beruchnias, are connected to the Rebbe and get the Hashpah from the Rebbe. When we do an Inyan Gashmi, the Hashpah is from the Rebbe. We eat breakfast, we have Hashpah, it's the Hashpah of the Rebbe. We learn a Maimach Siddis, it's Hashpah from the Rebbe. Our families, our health, our life, whatever, any facet of our existence is connected to the Rebbe and comes from the Rebbe. Because this is a Nosi Hadeir and a Shama Klolis, that everything goes through him. This is the Leisha of the day. In other words, that's what the Rebbe is pointing out. That the Rebbe, he's stuck, of course he's a Tzaddik. Of course he's a Balmidis, a Goyin, a Mesiras Nefesh, Baruch HaKeish, all of this, that's all true. But that's not what he is, that's not unique what a Rebbe is. A Rebbe is the Meisha of the Deir, the Neshama HaKlolis, and he gives the Hashpah, every facet of our existence comes from the Rebbe. Again, the Rebbe, this is a letter dated Gimel Tammuz Tavshin Yud. Just go in other words to describe what the Rebbe is saying over here. There are those that are trying to describe what the Rebbe is. And each one points on different things. Ish Mesiras Nefesh going so on. And today we hear different. He's our father, Nuzatata, Avinu Reyenu, and so on. People use these terms. It's not true. Of course, the Rebbe is our father. However, the main thing is missing. The main thing is that he's the Nafi Adeir, he's the Neshama Klalit, and he's Mashiach. But he's Melech HaMashiach. What does Melech HaMashiach mean? We learn it. That's why the Nafi Adeir, the Rebbe said on many occasions, the Nafi Adeir is the Mashiach of the day, because it goes hand in hand. Once someone is the Nasi Adai, it automatically, there's no two ways about it, automatically is the Mashiach of the day. Because Mashiach is the Neshama Klalis, and the Nasi Adai, the Mesh is the Neshama Klalis. Mesh Gael Rish and Gael Achri, it goes hand in hand. Once someone is the Nasi Adai, it automatically, it can't be any other way, automatically he's the Mashiach of the day. This is one of the Yisaitis of Teres Achsidis of the Neshama Klalis. So therefore the Rebbe is basically, in other words, saying over here, that you could say on the Rebbe all nice titles and all nice terms, that he's our father and he's a tzaddik and the chesed, all things that we hear different people saying. But the main thing, the ikar chasam in ha-sefer, as the expression is used, the main thing is missing. The main thing is that he's in the Shomer Klolis, that he gives our hashpois in all our facets of our life. In other words, that he's Melech HaMashiach. Another interesting nekuda, we'll backtrack from Tavshin Yud. 9 years earlier, in Tavshin Aleph, the Rebbe came. We all know, we just celebrated recently, the Rebbe came to America, to New York, in 1941, Tavshin Aleph. And the Rebbe arrived on Chav Ches Sivan, which is a few short days before Gimel Tammuz. We'll see something very interesting what happened that year, Gimel Tammuz. That year it fell out, Chav Ches Sivan fell out on a Monday. The Rebbe arrived here on a Monday, and this was actually not known. The date of the Rebbe's arrival was not known until fairly recently. All the years we knew that the Rebbe arrived in the year Tavshin Aleph, and later became revealed the month of Sivan, and I wasn't paid attention initially. Then later, when the series of Igris Kedish started coming out, and initially started with the Igris of the Tridik Rebbe, there was a letter from Tavshin Aleph dated Yayim Beis Chav Ches Sivan, where the Rebbe is informing certain Chassidim that Baruch Hashem, his daughter and son-in-law, have came, Baruch Hashem, Batzlocha, they've arrived on these shores, and of course we know all the events and the story pertaining to the Rebbe's arrival, that was Mamash Pederech Nes. This was 1941, the war was raging already for almost 2 years, and it was basically impossible to leave Europe at that time, and the Rebbe arrived with the last boat, one of the last boats that left the European continent and came to America. And he says, Baruch Hashem, the Friedrich Rebbe writes that they arrived, and of course we know the Friedrich Rebbe sent certain people to be Makabel, Panim, the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin, and so on. So again, that's from when, this actually I think was Tavshin Mem Gimel, that's when we started, when we knew the exact date that it was Chav Ches Sivan, and after that, Chassidim already started to make an issue, and they took Mashke for a Chavrenya from the Rebbe, and of course, after that, the Rebbe himself started relating to it, and until of course, Tavshin Nun Aleph, when there was two Sichas on that day, and the Rebbe gave out a special kuntavis, Chav Ches Sivan Yevel Shanim, so certainly the Rebbe himself, and that's the famous Chavrenya, the famous Sicha, where the Rebbe speaks about 770, how it's the Makam HaMikdash, and so on. So certainly, of course, the Rebbe after that himself started celebrating this day in a very revealed manner. So again, the Rebbe arrived on Chavkas Sivan Tavshin Aleph, which was a Monday. That's following Shabbos. If you make a quick calculation, it was Gimel Tammuz, fell out on Shabbos. Monday is Chavkas Sivan, the following Shabbos is Gimel Tammuz. Now, we all know, what is Gimel Tammuz? Gimel Tammuz is the Atchalta, the Geula of the Friedrich Rebbe. We all know when the Friedrich Rebbe was in prison and he was released, his release came about in stages. It didn't happen in one shot. The first stage was on Gimel Tammuz. We're all familiar with Yud-Beis Tammuz. Everybody knows Chagat Gula, Yud-Beis Tammuz. But that was when it was complete, his complete release. But it actually went in stages. Because initially, he had a death sentence imposed on him by the communists, Rahman al-Islam, capital punishment. And eventually that was rescinded, they took that off, and they substituted that, instead of a death sentence, he's going to be sent away to a far remote city in the eastern section, Siberia, the eastern sections of Russia called Kastroma. And initially that was supposed to be for 10 years, and eventually they also rescinded that to 3 years. And Azay is Gebliven on Gimel Tammuz, that they released him from prison, in Leningrad, as it was called then. Now it's back to Petersburg, as the Rebbe also spoke about that they changed back the name. And they released him, and he was to travel on that day, on Gimel Tammuz, he was to travel to Kastroma. And Kachava, that's Taka what happened, he boarded a train on Gimel Tammuz, 1927, and he wasn't allowed to go with anyone. I believe the only one that traveled with him was the Rebbetzin, his daughter, Rebbetzin Chaim Mushka, who was not married yet at that time. And she traveled with her father to Kastroma. And of course, Taka arrived in Kastroma, and short while later, on Yud Beis Tammuz, he received notice that he's totally free and he's able to return back home. Which eventually, of course, he left Russia completely due to that. And of course, how does it become Yud Beis? Yud Gimel Tammuz, because on Yud Gimel, he got a certificate. The day that they gave him the news, he's free, but he needed an official government certificate that he's free, which they weren't able to supply on that day because it was a holiday and the office was closed. So they were able to give it to him on the next day. And Taka that day on Gimel Tammuz is a very famous sicha that the Friedrich Rebbe said in the train station. Many chassidim came to say goodbye to him because they thought they're not going to see him for a number of years now because he's going to Kastroma, which is, who knows, the Haksa in Russia, and we're not going to have been, especially in 1927, the communication was not like today. And in Russia especially, there was no communication. And once he gets there, face will never hear from him until he's released. And who knows what's going to happen to him over there. So many chassidim came to say goodbye to him in the train station on that day. And that's what he said before he boarded the train. He said the very famous sicha, "Yehi Hashem elikeinu imonu, kasher hayim aviseinu." The Eibusha should be with us as he was with our forefathers. "Al yazveinu v'al yichenu." He won't let go of us. He won't abandon us. And he said the famous sicha that only our bodies went into galus, but not our neshamas. And when it comes to Inyanim of Torah Mitzvahs, we have no balabatim, unz yidin ham nishkin balabos. A very famous sicha that the Rebbe has analyzed on many occasions and has elaborated on it and explained the sicha. And it's actually a maimer from the Rebbe, also entitled "Yi Hashem Elokim Imonu Kasher Maviseinu," a maimer that came out once for Gimel Tammuz. So the truth of the matter is, when we look back, a Gimel Tammuz is a phase, is a shlav in the Gula. The Rebbe points out that initially then, chassidim didn't realize that. When they all came to the train station, nobody knew that it was initially a death sentence and they changed it for 3 years of Kastroma. So therefore, nobody knew that Gimel Tammuz was a special day. Later, things became revealed that it was initially a death sentence, which was taken off on Gimel Tammuz, and so on. So then they knew that Gimel Tammuz is also a special yontif, which is called, as the Rebbe many occasions calls it, Aschalta the Geula. This was the beginning of the Geula. Now, we find that the Friedrich Rebbe himself never made an issue of this day. He only made an issue, of course, of Yud Beis Tammuz. And the Rebbe points out, how come? Why not? This is very simple. Gimel Tammuz is sort of a private yontif for the Friedrich Rebbe. Because what happened on this day? He himself, personally, his life was spared. However, in his role as Rebbe, nothing much happened for him. Because he still was going to be fashik, and his role as Rebbe, his job, so to say, as Rebbe, is still going to be vastly curtailed, being Fahakdot and Kastroma. So therefore, on a personal level, it's a great yontif for him. But as far as his role as a Rebbe, it's no big deal for him. And being that a Rebbe doesn't lead any personal life, there's nothing personal about a Rebbe, there's nothing pratistic about a Rebbe. So therefore, he never made an issue, because the whole union of the Rebbe is, as far as the Rebbe Ashwafa developed, Fachsidim and so on, which was not any much better on Gimel Tammuz. When did it become better? If he was released totally on Yud Beis Tammuz and Gimel Tammuz and so on. So therefore, the Friedrich Rebbe himself never made an issue of this. However, the Rebbe says, that's as far as the Shmini Kareb himself is concerned. When it comes to Chassidim, being that we, as we mentioned before, we're totally connected with the Rebbe, every facet of our life, the Gashmis and the Ruchnis, is the Hashpah of the Rebbe. So there's nothing that happens to the Rebbe that's not connected to us, that doesn't affect us. Even something that seems on a personal to the Shmini Kareb, personal to the Rebbe, is also connected to us, and we have to celebrate it and so on. So therefore, the Rebbe says, the very famous Sikha, where the Rebbe said, Valeim Chassidim, Valeim Lachik is Yema Gimel Tamas. That Chassidim, they should celebrate this day of Gimel Tamas also, even though the Chassidim Rebbe himself never made an issue, but coming from Chassidim, like the thing Kabbalah Samalchus, that has to come back from the Am. It's a grassroots effort, this Indian. So Gimel Tamas has to come from the Am, that we have to celebrate it. Now we talk to find, getting back to Tavshin Aleph, that the Rebbe was the one who made the big issue of Gimel Tamas. And the Rebbe was pale on the Chassidim Rebbe, that he should Fabrein that year, Gimel Tamas Tavshin Aleph, and that was the first time that the Friedrich Rebbe Fabrein, this was already 14 years, he was released Tav Tishrei in 1927. 1941 was 14 years later. All those 14 years, he never made an issue, he never mentioned Gimel Tamas, he never made an issue, he never Fabrein, certainly not. However, the first Gimel Tamas that the Rebbe's in America, the Rebbe's pushing the Friedrich Rebbe to Fabrein on this day, and Kachave, that Shabbat, Kedah, Gimel Tamas here in 770, the Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe Fabrein, and this actually was the first Fabrein that the Rebbe participated with the Friedrich Rebbe here in the United States, in New York. Also interesting to point out that the Friedrich Rebbe said a Maimer by this Fabrein. The Maimer was entitled, Ki Imcha Mekir Chayim Be'er Chenira Eir. There's a whole Maimer that describes, Alpich Sid is the Inin of Chayis, that is Chay Lahachis, there's all different levels in Chayis, there's Chay Be'etzem and Chay Lahachis and so on. Again, titled on the Pasuk, Ki Imcha Mekir Chayim, with you is the source of life. So obviously, very Bashkacha Pratis, that the Maimer, the first Maimer that the Friedrich Rebbe ever said in Gimel Tamas, in the Rebbe's company, the first Fabrengen that the Rebbe attended by the Friedrich Rebbe in America, was a Maimer Gimel Tamas, Ki Imcha Mekir Chayim. Another interesting nekuda pertaining to this Fabrengen. By this Fabrengen, the Friedrich Rebbe asked, as the Fabrengen was progressing, and already then the Friedrich Rebbe started speaking about the day of Gimel Tamas that it was Yisrael's cult. He asked, does anybody know, there's a very famous nigun called the nigun from the Ramichol Zlotsheva. Ramichol Zlotsheva. And it was a very difficult nigun. Certain nusach of the nigun, it was the nusach of Ramichol Dvarkin, the way he sang it. And nobody knew it, and the only one that knew it was the Rebbe. And the Rebbe Taka started singing this nigun. Now there's a very interesting observation about this nigun. This nigun actually has three parts to it. Just go a little back, a little history of this nigun. Who's a Michal Zlotsheva? And Michal Zlotsheva was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. At one point he was not well, and he was not able to travel to the Baal Shem Tov. So he composed a nigun sort of as a substitute for him visiting the Baal Shem Tov. And the Rebbe, actually the Friedrich Rebbe describes this nigun. It's actually printed in Sefer HaNigunim, the whole Sifra from the Friedrich Rebbe about it. This nigun has three parts to it. The first part of this nigun describes his yearning to be with the Rebbe, to be with the Baal Shem Tov. The second part of the nigun describes the great simcha that he has, that he's zeichet to be a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, to be a chassid of the Baal Shem Tov. And the third part of this nigun describes his total devotion, his total bittul and total devotion to the Baal Shem Tov. And all these three parts together form the nigun of the Michal Zlotsheva. There's many famous legends said about this story. There's a thing said that it was promised that if anyone ever sings, that the Baal Shem Tov promised that if anyone ever sings this nigun with sincerity, mitech dveikus, that the Baal Shem Tov said he himself will come and pull this person out from all places where this person might have sunk into, and at the Mareshlep, and you know, there's a lot of very special things that were connected to this nigun. And we see this is Taka, when the Friedrich Rebbe and the Rebbe met for the first time, so to say, here in America, they met over the nigun of the Michal Zlotsheva, which again describes, number one, our yearning for the Rebbe, number two, our simcha, that being chassidim of the Rebbe, and number three, that it describes our total devotion, mesira nesina, total bitul, total kabbalah devotion to the Rebbe. Another interesting nekuda pertaining to that Fabrengen, again, this is the first public celebration of Gimel Tamas. The Friedrich Rebbe mentioned by that Fabrengen, that being that it passed now 14 years from the first Gimel Tamas, from Tafrish Pei Zayin, 14, Yud Dalet makes up the word Yad. And the Friedrich Rebbe described that there are three, we find in the Torah, there are three types of hands, three types of Yadis that we find concerning the Eibishter. There's the Yad HaGdeila, there's the Yad HaChazaka, the big hand, there's the strong hand. Then there's the Yad Rama, the uplifted hand of Nei Yisrael Yetzim, the Yad Rama, that's the highest level. So the Friedrich Rebbe said, we now passed the first 14 years, so we finished the era of the Yad HaGdela. And now we're starting the Yad HaChazaka. That's what the Friedrich Rebbe said by that Famreng in Gimel Tamos Tav Shin Aleph. Interesting to point out that the Rebbe himself mentioned this Sicha when it was 14 years of the Rebbe's Nesias, Tavshin Chabdala Jutschvat, by the Fabrengen. The Rebbe mentioned that Gimel Tamuz Tavshin Aleph, when it was 14 years of Gimel Tamuz, the Friedrich Rebbe mentioned that there are three Yadis, Yad HaGdela, Yad HaChazaka, and Yad HaRama. So the Rebbe says, being that we are also now 14 years, of course the Rebbe always speaks in terms, it's 14 years from Jutschvat, it's status of the Friedrich Rebbe, but of course it's 14 years of the Rebbe's Nesias. 14 years, so also we finished the era of the Yad HaGdela, and now we're going over to the era of the Yad HaChazaka. I'm sorry, we finished the Yad HaChazaka, now we're going over to the Yad HaGdela. First it's Chazaka, then Gdela, then Yad Rama. So the Rebbe again said this, Yud Shvat Tavshin Chavdalet. Now if we make a simple calculation, so in the Rebbe's Messias, obviously according to the Rebbe's own words, are divided into these categories. The first 14 years is the Yad HaChazaka, the next 14 years is the Yad HaGdela. And the next 14 years, which is starting from Tavshin Lamed Ches, that is the Yad HaRama. That's what B'nai Yisrael Yetzin B'Yad Rama. We all know B'Yad Rama is already referring to the Gula of B'nai Yisrael Yetzin B'Yad Rama. Taka, starting from Tavshin Lamed Ches, the Iker, the Rebbe Shturim in Mashiach, is Taka always, but B'Ein Areich, when you start looking from, it's divided in these three categories, these three sections, it started the Iker from Tavshin Lamed Ches. The Tavshin Mems was the Iker, we want Mashiach now, and Tzibas Hashem, which was founded for the purpose of we want Mashiach now. And all the Sichas about Mashiach and so on, of course, as we get later in the Mems, and Tavshin Nun, and Aleph Mevei, certainly, where we are completing that cycle, that last cycle of 14 years. So that certainly we see it, that I've already said, the Giyas Mandalachim, we've completed Aveda, we polished the buttons, everything's been finished, Kol HaKol HaKitzin, Kipshutei Mamish, and so on. Now the Mamish does have to be ready to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach. So in other words, that level, that section, that era finishes Takin Tavshin Nun Beis. And once we finish that era, we finish Kol HaGimel Yadis, as the Friedrich Rebbe described in the three. When we finish all the three hands, we come to a level which is even higher than the Gimel Yadis. That's the level that it says pertaining to Mashiach. Yadim, the Nisa, the Gavim, the Eid is higher than all in Yadim. As Siddhis explains, what is the union of Ma'id, Yadim, the Nisa, the Gavim, Eid. So Taka, once we finish all the Yadis, and specifically the last Yad, which is the Yad, the Iker of Nesal Yitzim, Yad Rama, so with Taka holding the level of Yadim, the Nisa, the Gavim, Eid, which our whole Abedin now is, just to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach, the Pale Mamash, as the Rebbe indicated in that era, that the only thing left to do now, the Abedin Yechidish Shanesim, is to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach. Another interesting nekuda, I'm saying different little tidbits, so to say, you know, it's not confusing, we'll connect everything together. So we mentioned Gimel Tamuz Tavshin Aleph. That was the first Fabrenga that the Rebbe was by the Friedrich Rebbe. If we backtrack 2 days before, Thursday night, which was the Shchedish Tamuz, actually the night of Beis Tamuz, that was an official Kabbalah's Panim was made for the Rebbe here in 770. And Friedrich Rebbe didn't participate in that. And the first time that they participated together in a public thing was by that Fabren Gimel Tamuz. It was a Kabbalah Spana made for the Rebbe. But eventually what it actually ended up, it became a Fabren, the Rebbe Fabren. And because the people said they want to hear from the Rebbe. In other words, the Rebbe says he came usually by your own Kabbalah Spana, you know, everyone else speaks on your behalf. But here the Chassidim said they want to hear from the Rebbe. This is the new son-in-law. Many people never saw the Rebbe before. This is the first time they're meeting the Rebbe. And they wanted to see, you know, what was for an aid in the Rebbe Hot. And eventually, Taka, this turned out to a Fabreng, the Rebbe Fabreng. You know, initially he didn't want to do it, but eventually the Rebbe Fabreng, and it was Taka Fabreng that lasted for a long time. It's described that it lasted for about 6 hours, this Fabreng. And the Rebbe already showed by this Fabreng, the Rebbe gave a glimpse and a taste, the Rebbe gave already a taste, what is the Indian of the Rebbe. And things that the Rebbe said there that people never heard such an yarn before. I mentioned a couple of nekudas from this Fabrengen. What the Rebbe did initially, the Rebbe asked everyone for their name and their mother's name. And then the Rebbe asked, does anyone have any shailas and chassidus? And the Rebbe went to them in a whole arichas describing and connecting their name with their mother's name. The Rebbe made a whole, and the Rebbe was Nakashit, in according to all levels of Teda, Nigla, Chassidus, and Shat, Remesh, Drush, Said, and the Rebbe, and connected with their Shailas that they had a Chassidus, and the Rebbe answered it, and so on. Because the Rebbe was showing really unbelievable things. Interesting, we'll just focus on 2 points here. By this Kabbalah Spanim, there were a number of students we know that there were, those are familiar with the Talmidim, we think now, 1938 already, the war clouds were really hanging low over Europe. Nevertheless, there was a whole group of Talmidim, the Tridikarab was still in Poland, in Atlots, there was a whole group of Talmidim that left, American students, American Bachim, there was a whole group of students that left New York to go be with the Friedrich Rebbe. And there's many stories, Taka, what happened with them. Many were trapped, the war, Taka, broke out while they were still there. And obviously they were Americans, so they had the passports and visas and so on, but it was still very difficult to get out, and there was many stories pertaining to this. In any event, these students on their way to Atvot, on the way, that's where the yeshiva was then, where the Friedrich Rebbe was at that time, in Atvot, they traveled through Paris, where the Rebbe was living at that time. And the Rebbe met them. In other words, the Rebbe wants to be Mekabel Panim, the Talmidim that are going to be with the Friedrich Rebbe, that are coming from America. And the Rebbe met with them, the train station, I believe it was. And the Rebbe was having the Rebbe Fabrati the Abyssal in the train station over there. Now, a number of years later, about 3 years later, when the Rebbe is here in 770, and you have these Talmidim who were able to escape and they came back, and they were by this Kabbalah Panim. So in the middle of the Fabrengen, the Rebbe stops and the Rebbe turns to them. And the Rebbe starts to talk with them exactly where he left off with them 3 years before while he was talking with them in the train station. Those are familiar with many, there are many stories from the Rebbe pertaining to this, how the Rebbe would do this to many people, and they would be in for Yechidus, and they would be Yechidus 10 years later, and the Rebbe would start the conversation as if they just finished 2 seconds ago, the conversation from 10 years ago, and Mamash start like in mid-sentence where they left off. I know firsthand, I once heard from my father that he had the person that he was dealing with in 47th Street in Manhattan, in the Diamond District, Frumayid, a big Mismagid. And he always asked Shailas on the Babich, on the Rebbe, and he always liked the Chepezer. But at one point, he ended up by Yechidus. In the early years, he had a lot of people that were not officially Lubavitchers and some even Mismagid, that ended up by Yechidus. And he ended up Yechidus by the Rebbe. Then a number of years later, again, he had the opportunity to be by the Rebbe by Yechidus. And when he came in the second time to Yechidus, the Rebbe continued the conversation that the Rebbe started with him a few years earlier, as if they were just mamish, the same conversation like not they had 5 years ago, like they had 5 seconds ago. When he came back at work the next day, he told my brother, he said, "This is an Odom Godo." This is in the, as we looked before, Rabbi Mamachatzim and Mavayrim. This is how others perceive. He says, "Oh, now his shaylas on the Rebbe go up." Now he realizes the Rebbe is an Adam Gadol. This is a big person. He was able, such a phenomenal Zikarim, not just a phenomenal Zikarim. I mean, this is able to continue the conversation from 5 years ago as if it just happened 5 seconds ago, like a mid-sentence. And in between, don't forget, the Rebbe spoke to other people, and there was Fabrengen and other Yechidus, and there were hundreds and thousands of people that passed by the Rebbe within that span of time. Nevertheless, the Rebbe remembered that person and exactly what he spoke to them, and Mamash continued with Gehalten with them. He said, "Oh, this is an Odom Gadol." In any event, the Rebbe did this by this Fabrengen also. The Rebbe continued to the conversation that he had in the train station with his Bachar. What we could take Heirah from this, obviously, besides the greatness of this inyan on itself, which again we've said before, the letter of the Rebbe, that is not the inyan of the Rebbe, it's true, but this is the Rabbim on the Chaps, and those that are looking for side things, they forget about the Iker of what the Rebbe is. But pertaining to the Rebbe from us, we could take from this, and again, this actually this is written down, what I'm saying now is in the Kavis that the Rebbe gave out, Tavka Sivan, Tavshin and Aleph, this is described here, a diary from someone who wrote down what happened by this first Fabrengen. So the Rebbe himself gave out the diary of this Fabrengen. Obviously, we see that the Rebbe's tremendous zikaron pertaining to us, that he remembers us, we could be by him many years before, and we leave, and we haven't been there since then, and there are many people that came in between. Nevertheless, the Rebbe has a tremendous zikaron nifla pertaining to us. Obviously, kemayim hapanim alpanim, we have to show the same, that we have to have a tremendous zikaron. And of course, we're not talking about Chas V'Shalom as a Koran pertaining to Shikha. Shikha in Shikha lifnei Chesed Chaydecha. But Chmona V'Sama Chas V'Shalom is Makshayah. The Indian of Shikha from Chassidim to the Rebbe. And as the Rebbe himself said on a number of occasions in the year Tavshin Yud and Yid Aleph, that we don't say on the Rebbe titles of Zichrein de Lebracha and so on. The Rebbe said pertaining to the Friedrich Rebbe and Shmasidim and so on. And specifically Zeichel Lebracha and Zeichel Tzai Lebracha. The Rebbe says we do not do this because the whole Indian of Zikaran is only shayach. When is it shayach to say zecher? We remember if it's shayach, it's possible there should be shikha to forget. So we say we're not forgetting, it's zikaron. But by a Rebbe, that's the chlal, not in the gedda, it's not shayach. It should be any inyan of shikha. We said before that the inyan, our whole existence comes from the Rebbe, but not shayach.
Chas v'Shalom should be any Indian of Sheikha. So Rebbe says, so therefore, it's b'chol nachshayet, the Indian even to say the Indian of Zeichen and so on. So again, we're not even talking here the Zikarin, to remember, and it's pertaining to, as opposed to Sheikha. But we're talking as Zikarin, as it says, Liyaz Zikarin l'chon of Tomin. That it should be, this is the expression from the Rebbe, that we should always have ringing in our ears. It's not the exact Lashon, I don't have it in front of me. It's a Lashon that the Rebbe says there should always be the cry from the Friedrich Rebbe, always ringing in our ears, that Shein Erev Shav, you know, what did we do to hasten the Geulah, the brand of coming back Lashon, but it's something pertaining, what did we do to hasten the Geulah, already the walls of Dalas are burning, and it's already Erev Shabbos L'Acha Chatzeis, it's already almost the Geulah, and what have we have done to hasten it, to be part of it. There was a zikaron in the sense that it always has to be tamid bilibeinu bimecheinu vazneinu, always ringing in our ears, always in front of our eyes, always in our heads, that just k'mayim apanim apanim, just like we see, we're always in the Rebbe's head like that. The Rebbe always has to be in our head. Again, not chas v'shalom pertaining as opposed to shikha, but we're talking b'tzad ha'tev l'mal yusra, zikaron in the sense that always k'seidet bilibeinu bimecheinu, the Rebbe's cry took out for serkent and so on, has to be k'seidet on the first and foremost thing on top of our heads, ringing in our ears, the Rebbe always in front of us. Another interesting thing that happened by that Fabrengen, the Rebbe said, another few minutes after Safa Mincha, the Rebbe said that there's a rumor that the American Bachrim are Baki, they're fluent in Likutei Diburim. That's what the Rebbe said. Likutei Diburim is the Sichus of the Friedrich Rebbe. But the Rebbe said that there's a rumor that American Bachrim are fluent in Likutei Diburim. And the Rebbe then went and started to Faheres Bachrim in how they talk about the Sichus of the Friedrich Rebbe, Likutei Diburim. Obviously, it wasn't yet complete because there were many sikhas. Actually, the Likutei Diburim are the sikhas from before America. The sikhas that the Friedrich Rebbe said already in New York in 1770 are in a series called Sefer HaSichas. The sikhas that he said, basically the sikhas that he said in Poland and in Latvia and so on, those were the sikhas that came out in the series called the Likutei Diburim. So the Rebbe then said, I'm going to test the Bachrim to see if this rumor is true of the American Bachrim, to know the Likutei Diburim. Obviously, for us, a clear hero. And obviously it shouldn't just be the American Bachrim and the Americans, but everyone. Our Likutei Diburim, of course, is Likutei Sichus, is the Rebbe Sichus. And of course the Rebbe said, especially when it comes to limiting Yom HaMashiach HaGula, that to learn Yom HaMashiach HaGula, the Rebbe Sichus, Likutei Sichus of Mesidereinu. And of course, on a very practical level, if you want to know anything, of course you have to learn. The vast majority of cases, all the problems arise from a basnish. Either we don't know, and we don't know those. If you don't learn, number one, you don't know pasha the facts, what the Rebbe said. Number two, as the Rebbe also pointed out during that era when he said to learn in Yom HaMashiach HaGula, your whole mindset is different, your whole focus, your whole outlook, your whole ashkaf is different. A person doesn't learn Torah is an under the sort of man, she's a different type of person than a person who does learn Torah. I mean, this is a clear thing. Torah changes a person. So Bechlau, by learning Teiri, become different. Besides knowing the facts, Samaisa, Shayasim, and so on. By learning Teiri, you become different. By learning the Rebbe's Teiris, you become different. By learning the Rebbe's Teiris, then under the third mensch. Number two, of course, then you start knowing all the facts, all the problems. 90% of the problems will fall away when we talk, we know the facts. So the Rebbe said this, the Rebbe said this, but it's a kachim, but the Rebbe bizak, and so on. And of course, the Rebbe said clearly that when it's Yimid Yanim Mashiach HaGul, it's Limid Yanim of the Kutasichas and the Sidereinu. So again, the Rebbe said that we heard that the Americans are walking Likutei Diburim. So our Likutei Diburim, of course, is Likutei Sichus of the Rebbe, Sefer HaSichus, Likutei Sichus, and so on, all the Sichus of the Rebbe. And obviously, of course, the Rebbe won't be upset if not just the American Bachim. Of course, the Rebbe wouldn't be upset if not just the Americans know, but everybody would know. And I think, in fact, if we look around, maybe the foreigners have a little edge as far as this is concerned, so we have to show the foreigners that we're not letting the Rebbe down, that he says the American Bachim know Likutei Diburim better than others. Number one, unfortunately, we become a different person. The left and down are under 11. Our whole ashkaf has become different. Our whole mindset becomes different. And number two, the Rebbe said clearly, Yanim Mashiach HaGula to learn the Likutei Sichus and Sidereinu. And of course, 99% of the questions and the problems would fall away at that time. I'd like to conclude with something that was mentioned yesterday. I don't know if everyone here was here by davening yesterday, Shabbos morning. Rabbi Gerelich mentioned something before Mutter, how the day of Gimel Tammuz is a day of Chizuk Iskashrus, the day we show Emunah and Bittul and Bitochen and so on. And this is the day that we proved all the Nevi HaSheker, all the false prophets, we proved them wrong. So the Nevi HaSheker, that were saying prophecies, or say the prophecies of the voice Shal Shekin, of what's going to happen to Lubavitch if ever it becomes an event of Gimel Talmud. So we once came across these certain articles in newspapers, and we heard from other people, oh, what's going to be with Lubavitch and so on. And there were many prophets of doom that Lubavitch is going to collapse, and everything is going to close down, and so on. So Rabbi Gerelich yesterday mentioned specifically the point pertaining to Chabad houses, that everyone said that all Lubavitch activities throughout the world are going to collapse. And we proved them wrong in Fakeret, because not just nothing collapsed, but the Yeses Eis of the Yeserez is grown more by leaps and bounds after Gimel Tammuz, because it's the Indian of Huba Chayim, and we even stronger than before, so to say. Even the Helen Hester we show, because we're showing that we are overcoming this Nisayim. But actually, I believe we go one step further to show how we proved the Nevi Asheker wrong, which might even be, in a sense, even greater than the fact that the Chabad houses didn't close and they became more Chabad houses. And this is the fact pertaining to where we stand right now in 770 in Beis Chayenu. Of course, we know the Sikha. I mentioned before, Kaf Chasiv and Kaf Shin Nun Aleph, where the Rebbe said clearly that 770 is unlike any other place that we were before in our history, in Lubavitch's history. In other words, it's not just another place where the Rebbe was. The Rebbe said clearly, this is the last place that Lubavitch ends up before the Geula. 770 is the Mokim HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi gets revealed over here. The Geula HaMikdash HaShlema starts over here. No, it's not just another place, just like we had a shul in Lubavitch, and in Rostov we have here in New York also, because here's where the Rebbe was. This is something that is unlike any other place that we ever had before. Beit Rabbeinu Shebabavel and Chatzi Kader HaTachtim in New York, this is some place like we never had before. This is the Makam HaMikdash, again, the Makam where the Geula starts from, and so on. There were again many Nevi Asheket that said that this is also going to close down. If the Gimel Talmud, who's going to, Crown Heights is going to fall apart. 770 will close the lights, will padlock the doors, and that will be it. We show them just Faket, that they are Taket, they were Nevi Asheket. And 770, all the things that Rebbe said, and that Sikha, that this is Talpiyas, the famous Sikha, based on Rabbeinu Shebabavel, what the Rebbe says, 770 is Talpiyas, Tale Shekalpiyas, plain and by, this is remains. The Yeser Se'es and the Yeser Eis, the Tale Kalpiyas, Shekalpiyas, plain and by everyone. And by the fact, we still come here for davening, and for learning, and for Fabrengens, and for Tishrei, and for Tkiyas, and for Sukkis, and for Simchas Teda. And we had the Shabbos 770 packed. You couldn't hardly get in, get squeeze yourself through the door. This is a testament to the fact. What are the people? They came at the davening with the Rebbe. In a sense, I believe this is even greater. The Chabad house, I mean, very great. But as far as someone's metzias mixed in, he's building his own maces and so on. It's his job and so on. When you come and you squeeze yourself in to daven Kabbalah Shabbos with the Rebbe on Friday night before Gimel Tammuz to be with the Rebbe, you come to, for Hakafis, you come for Atkias and so on. This is the biggest expression of Huba Chayim, even more than an expression when you see comes Tishrei and you see the buses coming from the airport and Baruch Hashem, hundreds upon thousands of Orchim arrive and Mishlepzeh, and some don't have the best accommodations. Where to sleep and where to eat, bechulu bechulu. Nevertheless, they're coming. This is, in other words, nishta rangim mish your own mitzvahs. You're not doing it for your own maaseh to build yourself up, to get your name in the newspaper, and to, and no one's going to pat you on the, no one's going to give you a slap on the back. And, you know what? No one's going to, at least the chizazach was mishlepzach and so on. Nevertheless, mitzvahs, we come here in order to be with the Rebbe. In other words, tishrei tavshin samachalav, we come to the Rebbe the same way we came, tishrei tavshin and aleph to the Rebbe. This remains, as the Rebbe said, this remains the Mokim HaMikdash, this remains the Talpiyah, Shekalpiyah, Svenbein. Again, I believe, in a sense, this shows the Nevi HaShekir wrong, in a sense, even greater than other types of activities, which are also very great. But in a sense, we could say that this is even greater, that what the Rebbe said clearly about this Mokim HaMikdash, about the fact of 770, this remains the Talpiyah, Shekalpiyah, Svenbein. We'll even look around now, how many Orchim we have, and how many guests that, you know, seemingly on the outside don't look like from Anash and Sinem and so on. They come from different cities, from Montreal and so on, and they're all here because this is the place of the Rebbe. They came to be with the Rebbe. Even in such a situation, if the Gimel Talmud, this is the biggest expression taka of Huba Chayim, and the biggest proof against the Nevi HaShekhet that they were wrong. One more Nekuda. The Rebbe said, or mentioned before, as the Rebbe said, we don't say Zeich Lebrocha v'kulu v'kulu. In the summer, actually around the time of the year that we are in now, the time of Tammuz, is Takedid Beis Tammuz and Tesvav Tammuz. Tavshin Mem Hei, that when the Rebbe spoke about the Mishpat HaSvarim, what's going on, how they're taking Svarim, and the whole thing is based on the fact that this individual who's taking the Svarim claims that the Rebbe, Friedrich Rebbe, is not the Hefek HaChayim, and therefore there's a Yerusha, and therefore he's a grandson, so therefore he's able to take the Yerusha, and he's entitled to it, and so on. And of course the Rebbe was negated this totally. The Rebbe says it's not Shaykh Yerusha because the Rebbe's Hu B'Chayim and it's Hu B'Chayim Kipshutei Mamash B'Gashmi, so much so that Al Pi Halacha it's not even Shaykh Yerusha. I was saying Pasha Al Pi Halacha it's not Shaykh inheritance of the it's not Shaykh Yerusha because Hu B'Chayim. And there was all the sifras that the Rebbe spoke on this on Yidbeis Talmud, and then the Svav Talmud is a very special sifras that the Rebbe spoke about this meaning of Hu B'Chayim, which was played last night by the Chavengen, a clip of the video of one of these sifras from Yidbeis Talmud pertaining to this meaning of Hu B'Chayim. So again, the Rebbe's whole point is never to say anything, to do any pa'ula, which Chas V'Sholom will show. No, it's not like he didn't even say anything, he was just doing a pa'ula. By him taking the sefer, he was demonstrating, expressing that Chas V'Sholom is missing the inyan of chayis, is missing in the inyan of hu b'chayim. And that also got into the halachos. I'm sure we heard of this before, that he said, what do you mean, this hu b'chayim, there was a levaya, and there was this, and there was that, and there was Kaddish and so on. The Rebbe says, we know from all these tricks, and we know from all these kunsten, we know that nevertheless, the truth of the matter is, Hu B'Chayim, the Seder says that Hu B'Chayim and so on, and it doesn't matter what you saw, and you participated, and so on. In other words, all these tainas that we hear over, these were the tainas that the Rebbe totally negated then, the Samat Hashem Hei pertaining to the Mishpat HaSvarim. So I have to quote one sentence from the Rebbe. The Rebbe, this is Tashim Mem Hei. The Rebbe, this is 35 years after Yud Shvat, so the Rebbe says, the Rebbe left the Gashmi, the Rebbe is living the Gashmi, is Ba'elam Hazda HaGashmi Vachumri, 35 years already since then Yud Shvat, and every moment he's becoming stronger and more healthier, Noch Trisha was more fresh, more, Noch Levedike, in other words, every moment that it's passing, not anything less is happening, but Faket is becoming Noch Meder, Noch Starke, Noch Trisha, Noch Levedike. And the Rebbe then concluded, the Rebbe says, no Rav, no lawyer, and anyone could change the fact of the matter. The clear fact that is not Shayach any Indian of Yerusha, because Hu B'Chayim, and it's not Shayach to speak on Yerusha, Kasher Hu Asmei Chayim, and he is the Indian of Chayis Bahim. So again, the Rebbe says clearly, Noch Mera, Noch Starker, Noch Trisha, Noch Levdike, and Toshet, the Rebbe went, Papi Aloch, and therefore not Shayach Indian of Yerusha. And Taka, we see that the Rebbe said, in the Sikha of Gimel Tamas Tavshin Nun Aleph, which is a very famous Favrengen, very beautiful Sikha, where the Rebbe connected the two events that happened in Gimel Tamas, Aschalte de Gul and Shemesh Begiven Dain. The Rebbe connected it and the Rebbe explained both how they both relate to each other and so on. There's one Nekuda that the Rebbe mentioned over there, that when we go over from the day of, from Pashas Kedef to Pashas Kukas, Takana Gimel Tamas is the first day in the week of Chukas, and this is Takana how it happened in Tavshin and Dalet. And actually, in Tavshin Pei Zayin, that's Chalti Begul, was also on a Sunday, Gimel Tamas. And we go over from Kedah to Chukas. The Rebbe explains that the difference between Kedah and Chukas, they both have the same letters. The only difference is that Chukas has the Tav as opposed to the Reish that Kedah has. And the Rebbe goes on Arichas, and the Rebbe concludes that what is the Tav of Chukas show on? Tav goes on Chia, which refers to the union of Chayim Mitzchit. So Fakir, what we go into, from Kedah to Chukas, as it was Taki Gimel Tamas, right after Kedah, right in the beginning of Chukas, what is the difference between Kedah and Chukas? Kedah and Chukas is Chukas, as opposed to Kedah, shows the Tav, shows on the union of Chayim Mitzchit. So David Shetaki held this Gimel Tamas. The Rebbe told us many times, this is Aschalta de Gula. Just mentioned how the Rebbe told us, this is the union of Chayim Mitzchit. And Hu B'Chayim Kipshutei Mamish Begashmis. We should see Taka take it from the Yad Mamish, how the Eschalta de Gula comes to its complete fruition. And as the Rebbe Taka said then in the Sikh of Gimel Tamas Tav Shin and Aleph, that the events that are happening today in Russia, how things are changing, and they're changing the name back to Petersburg, and communism is falling, and it's becoming freer for Yidden, and Yidden are able to leave, b'chulu, this is all still a shlav, this is all stages of the initial Gimel Tamas that happened, the initial Eschalta de Gula, this is still Eschalta de Gula coming to its fruition, and we see the events of this happening today, and that's what the Rebbe Taka concluded in that Sikha. That's why we know that today the Welt is great. People come now and say, but the world is not ready yet for the Gula and so on, and the Kula of the Rebbe says, no, it's not true. The Welt is farting. Gimel Tamas to us is telling us that the world already has come, we have already completed the Birr HaMateh, we have completed the Birr of the Tachtenim,
We have completed this bitter, so we are ready, not just for the Ashkalta to go to the Rebbe, we are ready for the Gula Amitis Vashlema, taken from Yad Mamash on this day of Gimel Tammuz.
We will talk to be able to proudly tell the Rebbe we have stood that strong through this Nisayan, and we have not wavered. We have not wavered one here, we have not left the Rebbe for 1 second. And we have proved, as we mentioned before, the Nevi'ah Sheker wrong, and we remain strong. And certainly the Rebbe has a tremendous nachas on that, and this itself brings about, as the Rebbe said, this itself, if you stand stronger than the Nisayan, this itself makes the Nisayan evaporate. And this itself will make the Nisayan evaporate, and we'll see Taka take it from Yad Mamash, the Galus of the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, taking us out of Golus, take it from Yad Mamash, and this day of Ashkalta the Gula will be Taka the Gula Amit Tashlema, take it from Yad Mamash.